celebrate your 21st birthday.
With a win. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking for.
What is it like for you to be at this point in your career at this age, having come in at 20 and now turning 21? I mean, is it extra special because of this?
No, it's just cool. It's normal. You know, I've had a birthday on baseball days so many times in the past. So, you know, I'm kind of used to it at this point. I don't even feel any different. It just feels like another birthday.
Guys in the clubhouse do anything?
Not yet, so we'll see.
That's the birthday boy, Jackson Merrill, 21 years old today. And I know he said it's normal. It's not normal for somebody turning 21 years old to be starting in center field in the major leagues and hitting .333, top 10 in the National League so far this season. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 3:01 is the time as we kick off hour number two. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be in and out of the lineup the rest of the way as he's, of course, getting ready for tonight's broadcast out at Petco Park. The Padres and the Toronto Blue Jays. Teams have similar records, by the way. The Blue Jays are 10-9. The Padres are 11-10. Padres are currently a game and a half ahead of both the Diamondbacks and Giants, who sit at 9-11, a couple of games under .500. I watched that game last night. Logan Webb pitched a masterpiece.
A masterpiece is
for
right.
San Francisco. Had it going on.
His last three games, he's gone 7 innings in each of them.
Well, he's good. You know, Look, the guy didn't finish second in the Cy Young, and now the guy he finished second to, Blake Snell, who finished first in the Cy Young, is going to pitch for the Giants tonight. But so far, it hasn't gone well for our old friend Snellzilla. We'll see if he can get it rolling tonight. One game earlier today, the Cubs pasted the sorry Marlins 8-3. The Rockies won't have to lose today. They were rained out. Their game against Seattle. We're going to get into the Daily Gambit. But before that, you know, talking baseball, we're talking NBA playoffs. I got to just throw in your favorite athlete on the planet right now, Scrape.
Okay, which way are we going? Like this person?
No, I don't think you do, and I don't know why you don't.
All right.
I don't know why you don't like this guy.
Okay.
He's basically all your sport has left.
Oh.
And that is Scottie Scheffler. Now, here's what a gamer this guy is. He wins the Masters, and the very next week, I think the same week his wife's about ready to give birth to their first child, or if she hasn't already.
I haven't seen the news if she has or not.
But it's very close. Anyway, Scottie Scheffler from the Masters takes a little trip to Hilton Head, South Carolina, to play in the Harbor Town Golf Links tournament. I mean, you talk about probably having trouble getting up for an event. You just won the Masters. Now you're going to go play in this thing. And predictably, he stunk yesterday. He shot a 2-under-69, which for him is not very good. Guess what he shot today, Scrabe?
What?
6-under-65.
Well, there you go.
He's only a couple shots off the lead. He may win this tournament, too. I know we like our superstars to be photogenic and gregarious and have a personality like Jerks and Profar. Scottie Scheffler doesn't, but I mean, I don't know what else golf has right now until they get their together and hook up with the live people again.
I agree with you. This tournament that he's playing in, they've talked about it for years, about moving it because it's directly after the Masters every year.
Yes, nobody wants to play,
but
right?
They've also raised the purse in this one to allow to entice players
them?
Into to going
sure.
there. So a lot of these guys, like I can't remember who it was, but a couple years ago, someone lost the Masters on like the last hole, and then they withdrew from the tournament, and they got crushed for it because they were one of the bigger golfers in the field.
Well, Scottie Scheffler, thumbs up to this guy, man. He's well, as Manny Machado likes to say, Scottie Scheffler is posting, right?
He is.
He's posting. He's showing up every week and doing his best to kind of carry this PGA Tour on his shoulders right now. Just a couple of shots off the lead. Speaking of Manny, I tweeted out last night. I don't know if everybody, you know, if you follow me at Chris LOSD Recommend. I'll throw a few things out there. I throw a few things out there. But what I threw out there last night was somebody dug up the video of his amazing play that he made in Arizona 5 years ago.
I can see it in my head right now.
So can I.
Who was on the mound? It was he's not with us anymore. Well, he is with
us. He's alive, but he's
not on the team anymore.
Thank you. Yeah. But somebody hits a dribbler up the third base line. Man, he grabs it. Basically, his momentum carries him into the third base dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And he flings it across his body. And it wasn't just that he made the throw. It wasn't just that he got the throw there. But it was the look on Eric Hosmer's face at first base because he didn't have to move a muscle. The ball went right into his glove. It was one of the best plays I've ever seen a third baseman make, ever. And somebody tweeted it out, and I retweeted it. So if you're searching through my stuff, you want to just relive that play.
I'm going to go look for it.
I don't blame you because it was something. And, you know, seeing it reminded me of, you know, the one thing I'm missing right now with the Padres. And that is, you know, Manny's not at third base, right?
It's true.
You know, he's still not at third base. And yeah, you start wondering when's he going to get into third base? You know, the Padres are, you know, off to a nice start. Taylor Wade's doing his thing, and
Tyler,
and E-Guy Rosario, as I like to call him,
yes.
Eggy. You know, they're doing their thing over there, but there's no way they can be the same as Manny Machado. He's one of the greatest fielders in the history of the sport. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him back in there selfishly.
Me too.
Because going to a ball game, you know, you and I are going to be out there on Sunday.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to that. But I just love watching Manny play third base. Like, that's must-see, you know, viewing for me. Any ball that goes near him, I want to see what he's going
to
do.
And you also have to think that he is just dying to get back out there at third base.
Probably so. Yeah, good call. But still
right,
no
I
word
think
on
I
whether
found the highlight.
Oh, you've got the actual description of the play. Was it who was on the
it
call? Was it Jesse?
I don't remember.
So it was
quick.
Quite a Hold while on. Ago. It's been four or five. Might have been Ted even.
It is.
Is it Ted?
Hold on.
Let's hear what it sounds like if you got it. I'm holding.
Antony's on the call. Okay, here we go.
All right, let's go.
From April 12th,
2019. So it is 5 years ago. Go ahead.
Padres 1-0 lead, tied at 1, now 2-1 lead, now 3-2 ground ball, staying fair, backhand Manny, sidearm throw from foul territory, my gosh, on the glove of Eric Hosmer, who does not have to move the glove an inch. Manny, you had that diving grab in foul territory by the coaching box at home. This one, on a close game, is your best as a Padre.
There you go. I would say. And it's 5 years ago, and it's still as best as a Padre.
Yeah.
And I must say that it's fun listening to Ted. I really do. I miss him, you know. And, you know, I know he's still doing Aztec games, and I know many of you saw the story in the paper today that he's not doing the football any longer. He's still going to be doing the basketball for the Aztecs. And, you know, it's all well and good, and things, you know, move along in the world.
Yeah.
But I think you got to take a second, if you're a San Diego sports fan, every now and again, to appreciate how many hours did you spend listening to Ted regale you with his broadcasting and his, you know, TV work on Channel 8. Ted Leitner is part of our sports lives here in San Diego.
Yeah,
and I'm glad he's still doing the basketball. I know that you might have seen the story today. He won't be doing the football any longer. It's good hearing him on that call, though, that Manny.
Is. It
from 5 years
is.
Ago.
Yesterday, people were, for some reason, talking about Ted Leitner. Oh, because of the story coming out.
Because of the story,
and they were just reliving certain things in the past. And a lot of people brought up what you brought up, is that he only showed hockey fights in his highlights.
And that was all shtick.
I
don't want to give it away. If you know, I don't want to give you out you, Ted. But Ted didn't really dislike hockey all that much. But he got a great bit with only showing hockey fights, and he stuck with it, and became one of his calling cards. Just think, back in the day, local television sports news took time to show hockey highlights.
That's crazy.
Don't see that anymore.
No, I can't. Yeah, I
don't
can't
see that on
remember.
The local news.
I can't remember any of that.
They don't have that. ESPN has taken over the highlight packages for everything. All right, I know we got to get to our gambit, but let's hold it off for a segment here.
Okay.
I got an email from Adam
out
there.
Our boss?
No, not our boss.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't read it if it was from our boss.
Good answer. Good answer.
This is an Adam whose email I wanted to read. Here's what he said. I liked it. He said, hello. He said, hello, Chris and Gwen, but
it
I think
happens.
Probably because he wrote this
it
to
happens.
Me. He said, I'm a professional armchair quarterback.
Okay.
And when I saw that, I'm like,
yeah, here we go.
But I went on to read it, and he said, I want to let all the other armchair quarterbacks know the problem with Xander.
Oh, okay.
It has come to my insight why Xander is struggling. And I was like, do I really want to read this?
I don't know. Do
but
we?
It turns out that I did.
Okay.
He said, maybe it's because there is another professional team in the other dugout that is getting paid to get him out.
That's a really
it's
great
a good reminder,
point.
Right?
I didn't ever consider that.
Very good, Adam.
That
and
is pretty
said,
good.
He said, Xander will be fine. Go Padres. Yeah, the other guys are not just letting him get hits. They're trying to. They get paid, too. You know, I'd love it if Xander leads off tonight and goes about five
Have
for
we got
five.
A lineup yet? Because there's some speculation.
What is the speculation?
Because we don't have a lineup yet.
That they're waiting?
They're milling about to do something with the roster or maybe
oh,
change the lineup.
So. I think Tony's hit it on the head. I think they're waiting to see if Cronenworth is going to be able to, you know, post tonight.
I mean, that does make more sense than what I said. But.
Yes, all of you conspiracy theorists out there, if they're going to make any roster move, it's going to be in, you know, with the pitcher, because they're probably going to, you know, they're going to need somebody to start tomorrow. Jeff Sanders from the UT tweeted out that Randy Vasquez is in town. That would get a lot of us to believe that he will probably get the call tomorrow against Toronto. But as soon as we know that for sure, we will pass it along.
Maybe
to
he's
you.
In town for Jackson Merrill's birthday.
Could be. Could
you
be just
know.
Celebrating
you never
the youngster.
Know.
By the way, it was funny, Jackson Merrill, I mean, he's 21 years old.
Yeah.
And he's getting ready to play in a big league ball game tonight. Got me thinking. Probably got you thinking.
What was I doing at 21?
Yeah, what were we all doing on our 21st birthday? Most of us remember, and it always, you know, invariably had to do something with drinking.
Yes,
I'm
it
pretty
did.
Sure. And I know mine did. I don't remember a whole lot of the night. I'm embarrassed enough to say that I ended the night by making two or three trips to the latrine.
The latrine?
Yeah. The alcohol I drank got the best of me. And I remember a friend of mine, my roommate at the fraternity at the time, Brad Miles, his... And you'd love Brad Miles because he was the all-time 49er annoying
oh,
fan.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, but Brad like Miles had the room part. Next to mine at the fraternity. And he said he told me the next day... That when he heard my door open and me trudge across to the bathroom, he said, ding, there's one. And I think he got up to about two or three before I finally called it a night. But that's what I did on my 21st. And I'm sure a lot of you out there did the same thing. I wasn't playing a big league ball game. I know that.
Me neither. I was actually at a bar in San Marcos called Lucky Penny. I don't even know if it's still there anymore. But my first
you probably
drink,
closed it down.
My first drink ever was a Washington Apple, which is the weirdest thing for me to have as a first drink. But yeah. I wasn't an alcoholic yet, so I had a nice night. I didn't do the regular 21st
problems
birthday
after
thing.
That? No. The drink I recall my buddies getting me was called a Marlboro Light, which was
Wait,
just...
I'm sorry. That's a
it was
cigarette.
Called, I know that's what that's called, but this drink was called a Marlboro Light, and what it had was a layer of... It had a bunch of alcohol in the drink. Then it okay. had a layer of Everclear across the top, which they lit on fire.
Okay. That's serious.
Which they lit on fire, and then I had to shoot it. That's what most of us are doing on our 21st birthday.
No, Jackson Merrill's winning baseball
Jackson
games.
Merrill's going to help us win the ball game tonight. Is that the lineup?
That is the lineup.
All right, let's hold off. We'll get it to you in just a second after we check traffic. Is Jake Cronenworth back in there? We have the answer next on Gwen and Chris. All right, welcome back. 3:20 is the time. I got good news on the lineup, and I got troubling news. I got troubling news on the lineup as well. Scraby, go ahead and give us the Padre lineup for tonight. I think you'll recognize the good news. We'll see if you recognize what could be the troubling news.
All right, batting first is... Xander Bogaerts
yeah,
playing
that's
second
not
base.
The troubling news.
Fernando Tatis Jr. batting second, playing right field. Jake Cronenworth is in the lineup, batting third, playing first base.
That's the good news.
That's the good news. Manny Machado cleaning up, batting or DHing. Jurickson Profar, the guy we talked to earlier, the always smiling Jurickson, batting fifth, playing left field. Ha-Seong Kim, shortstop, batting sixth. Jackson Merrill moves up now to the seventh spot in the lineup.
Birthday boy.
Field. Birthday boy. Tyler Wade playing third base, batting eighth. And Kyle Higashioka playing catcher, batting ninth.
That's the troubling news. It's nothing against Kyle Higashioka. I have no problem with him in the lineup. The thing that troubles me is that this is the second game in a row that Luis Campusano has not been in the lineup.
Who caught Matt Waldron last? I got to look that up.
That could have something to do with it. Very good. Very good by you.
Thank you.
If that's accurate. But Campusano sat out the day game on Wednesday in Milwaukee, which I got. Normally, catchers sit out the day games to rest, but he also had a day off yesterday. There's no reason that I would see on the surface that Campusano would be sitting out tonight unless he's dinged up.
Mm. Kyle Higashioka did catch for Matt Waldron last week in L.A.
Okay, very good. That explains it. I feel better.
And it gives him a little, couple more days off to rest, I guess.
Well, I don't know that Campusano needs any time off to rest, is what I'm saying. If he's dinged up, he needs some time off. But maybe he's not dinged up, and what you say is what it is.
Let me go look at April 7th.
And that Higashioka's...
Higashioka, April 7th. So he's this personal
He's
catcher.
The catcher right now for Waldron. Okay, good. I feel a little bit better. Yeah, I was concerned there for a second.
Me too.
I don't like to see starters out of the lineup in back-to-back games. That normally tells me something was wrong with that player. But very good on you to sleuth that out.
Thank you. Joseph, Merrill is in the lineup. Come on.
Wait, what?
They're saying, why is Merrill not in the lineup?
No, he's batting seventh in center field.
Yes.
He's there.
Yes.
Birthday boy. I think he should bat first just because it's his birthday. And just to give everybody off our backs about why Xander Bogaerts is batting first. As if you and I make the lineup.
Well, we kind of do.
Sure. Mike Shield calls us.
We have input.
All right, let's get to a quick rendition of today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Don't look now, Chris. Anthony Rendon is hitting .346 over his last 12 games.
There's proof that anything's
possible over a 12-game span.
Yeah, I guess so.
Both good and bad.
Also, on the chat, they're saying Higashioka is a better defensive catcher, which might be true, but I don't think that Campusano was that. I think he's been pretty good defensively. Campusano's
done a really good job, and Campusano's going to catch almost every game this year until further notice, and that notice right now is that Higashioka will work again with Waldron, apparently. I think that's now we can come to that conclusion. Yeah. And on the occasional, you know, day off, off day.
Yes.
And it just so happened that those happened in back-to-back games, which is why Campusano's sitting out.
All right. Let's get into our bets. First one, Diamondbacks at the Giants. The Giants were -1.5 on the run line. You and Tony took the Giants. I took the Diamondbacks. I was wrong. Giants went 5-0 because Logan Webb was great.
He was great, but the Giants also scored 4 times with 2 outs in the bottom of the 8th.
I did not see
to
that.
To go from 1-0 to 5-0.
Oh, wow.
So you almost won that bet.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very close.
Logan Webb, 4.5 Ks over under. We all went over, and he just barely got there. For how he pitched 7 innings, he gave up very few runs, 5 Ks.
Very few runs. The first 2 batters of the game got hits, and then he retired 19 in a row.
Yes, I should have said that.
He swept right through everybody, but only 5 Ks, but it was enough.
It was enough.
To go over.
Now, Oklahoma -1.5 at BYU. I had someone call in during the Scraby show last night and ask me why you and Tony hate BYU so much.
Oh, my goodness. Don't go there.
It's a sports rivalry, people. Okay.
It really is. BYU was the Aztecs' big rivalry in the 80s and the 90s when we were growing up and going there. And, they didn't like us. We didn't like them. So it's just something that's carried on. Now I have a few other reasons why, but I'm not going to get into all of those.
Well, this was baseball. Oklahoma -1.5 on the run line. You guys chose Oklahoma. I chose BYU to make you guys mad, and it backfired in my face because Oklahoma won the game, and they won by 2 runs, 10-8.
All right.
Final one.
Boomer Sooner.
Kings.
That's my favorite fight song,
Boomer
by the way.
Boomer Sooner?
That's my favorite fight song.
Boomer Sooner?
Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner, OKU. You didn't know that's the words to that song?
No. I've heard that. I've definitely
heard that. That's the Oklahoma fight song.
All right, I didn't know the words, but I knew the actual. Yeah. I knew the actual music.
Now you know.
Final one, Kings and the Blackhawks last night. Kings were -1.5 on the puck line. And you chose the Blackhawks, Chris. Tony and I chose the Kings. Kings did win, but we were wrong 5-4.
Overtime. So, yeah. Overtime. And I finished 4-0 yesterday to improve to 10-8 for the week. You were 1-3, and you are having a
bad week.
You're 5-13.
Here's my parlay.
You got a Bulls parlay tonight.
I do.
I think
it's kind of crazy that the Heat are favored by 2 points in this game tonight with Jimmy Butler out.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the Bulls +2 on the spread.
Okay.
And then here's when it gets a little crazy.
A little dicey.
I'm going to say with Jimmy Butler out, DeMar DeRozan goes crazy and has 30 or more points.
DeRozan, he'll probably need 30.
Okay. And then the final one is over 103.5 points for the Bulls. So if they have to score at least 104, and I get +455 on those odds.
103.5. That might be the hardest one. I have a feeling
103.5.
I do, but I think Miami's going to play a very, slow down pace tonight. Try and keep it close, not let the Bulls run up and down. Without Jimmy Butler, they want a game in the 90s. And I think that's what Miami's going to do. Eric Spoelstra, still one of the best coaches in sports that nobody talks about, and they should. All right, here we go. The other game, New Orleans is 1-point favorite over Sacramento. This, again, seems like a gimme, right?
Yeah.
No Zion Williamson. Sacramento should win this game. I'll take them, even though it's at New Orleans.
I will take that as well.
All right, tomorrow Denver is 7 over the Lake Show in game one of the Western Conference quarterfinals. You go first.
One.
Denver swept last year, also swept the season series this year. They have owned the Lakers. 7 points, though. I don't know.
Yeah, 7 points is a lot. I feel like playoff games are usually close, so I'm going to say that the Lakers, they may not win, but they won't lose by 8 or more.
Lakers make a statement right off the bat.
Yes.
I say take the Lakers +7 as well. We've got the Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway tomorrow. Did you know that?
I did, actually.
Big matchup in the first round. Boston Bruins, 1.5 goal favorite over the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs have a guy named, Austin Matthews, who scored 9 goals this year.
Wow, that's
it was
a
the
lot,
most
right?
scored like in any season for the last some odd 20, 25 years. He obviously just missed 70. Now, Gretzky holds the record. 92.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no one ever comes close to that.
Yeah, that's
but 69 is quite a season. Because of that, I'll take Toronto plus 1.5 in game one. But the Bruins are good. They're at home, Boston, by the way.
I'm going to take Boston.
You're going to go with Boston. The Bruins.
The Bruins.
Okay. On to baseball now. Padres, Blue Jays, 8.5 runs over under tonight, Scrab.
Padres, Blue Jays, 8.5 runs over under. I mean, it's been going over, so I'm going to have to continue. I'm going to continue with the over.
I'm going to say over. Who's pitching? Waldron, over. Sorry, Waldron.
It just was not even a thought.
Well, I just think a 5-4 game, something like that. And then one more. I looked on this. All of the pitchers pitching tonight in Big League Baseball. The pitcher with the highest over-under for strikeouts tonight is somebody you would never guess. I mean, Blake Snell is pitching tonight. Mm-hmm. Justin Verlander's pitching tonight. Jordan Montgomery, Yamamoto.
Matt Waldron.
I could go on and on and on. The pitcher with the highest strikeout number wins, or over under, is Nick Lodolo of the Cincinnati Reds. His over-under is 7.5.
They're playing the Angels.
They're playing the Angels. I will tell you, Lodolo had 10 strikeouts in the only start he's made so far this season.
This is a very strange over-under point.
I'm going to say under. That seems like a lot.
That does
seem a half.
And you know what? The Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon-led Angels aren't doing too bad on the offensive side, so I'll say under.
Under also. Yeah. Okay. Chris Sale's pitching tonight. There's some good strikeout pitchers going.
Chris Sale will destroy TV later tonight.
He might. He very well could. All right, there's our daily gambit. We'll see how the prognostications go. Over the weekend, when we come back, we have a very fun countdown for you. I do. Try Spiro's, authentic Mediterranean cuisine, not only in Coronado or La Jolla, but now at Petco Park. If you're on your way to the game tonight, third base foul line, main concourse. Spiro's, for dining or takeout options, visit spirocuisine.com. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, right up until Sammy Levitt's Padre pregame show tonight, shortly after 5:30. Travel with us now, back in time, to take part in today's weekly countdown after we check traffic.
It's now time for Gwynn and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown, and it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, it's often said by Scraby that if I could turn back time, I would. And guess what? He's allowing me to turn back time today for our countdown. It is the Gwynn and Chris weekly. Yes, we are going to flip the calendar back about 30 years, guys. And
wow, that is a long time.
Come along with me for a ride back to the 1990s. Today's countdown category: top five things we miss from the 1990s. And I think that that can be stuff we actually miss because we liked it, or stuff we miss because we really don't miss it that much. You know, either way, I think will work here.
Chris taking liberties with the topic.
I'm taking a little liberty or two because there's some things from the 90s that I think are kind of comical that probably wouldn't play so well in this day and age.
Like
so.
Backwards pants, isn't that what Crisscross did?
I remember that. I remember that. I used to do that, but not on purpose. All right.
Number five.
That's another story. Let's get to today. Today's countdown. Scraby, you, why don't you go first? This was your idea. Top five things you missed from the 1990s.
One of my favorite things to do in the 90s is every Friday after school, my mom would pile us in the car and we would go to the movie store and we would get our movies for the weekend and we would just get to walk through and see everything. I would always find myself in the horror movie section because obviously I wanted to watch that at the age of 11 or so.
And also because it was always close to the adult section and you'd try to sneak around the corner behind the curtains.
Cannot confirm nor deny that, Chris. You know, sometimes
remember they had it behind these little flimsy curtains as if that was going to keep anybody out of there.
Anybody out, and if you're caught in there, you are the biggest creep in the world.
Yes, that's right.
You're in a family video store.
Yeah, what are you gonna
do? Anyway, I also really loved renting video games, and so I did a lot of renting video games. But
all right, the movie store.
Yeah, Hollywood Video. That. Video Time is where I went growing up.
All right, very good. Tony, what do you miss from the 1990s, or what do you recollect?
I miss paper maps.
Paper maps?
You used to walk in, you know, whether you were an adult and driving, going someplace, paper map. I remember my dad used to, like draw on the line, the highway he wanted to roll on when we were going to, like, Portland. Yeah.
It's a primitive way of directing yourself.
You know what's funny about that is that they say that, you know, looking at your phone is dangerous while driving. It's not any more dangerous than trying to unfurl a paper map while you're driving, which I can picture your dad doing.
1,000%.
Yeah, which way do we go? Well, let me see.
Dad, there's a car! There's a car!
Open the thing up right in the car.
That's a good one.
Very good.
Paper maps, for sure.
Very good.
It also helped pass the time. Just looking
at it. I mean, even as a kid, like, just looking at it.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
this is... This is such and such.
Yeah. Everybody had a Thomas Brothers pretty much back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think those are around anymore. All right. Number five for me, I'll go with how about sitting around the house, especially when it was really good when you lived with roommates and they were gone for a few days, because then you could go through their collection as well. But going through everybody's record album collection and making your own mixtape.
Oh.
A lot of fun. I think it was great, you know, for your own stuff, but even better, you know, when you go through everybody else's stuff and pull a song out and, you know, put it on your mixtape. So I think mixtapes, that was a big deal. And it's kind of a precursor to what we do now, which is download our favorite songs, you know, onto our phone. But that was the way we did it then.
Yeah, playlist. That's right.
Yeah, very good.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Number four.
My number four is appointment TV. Mm-hmm. Well, A, this would help Chris, or help me be able to talk to Chris about things that are happening in sports. But like TGIF started at 8, and I was always in front of my TV at 8 on Fridays with my family watching TGIF. I kind of missed that for some reason, but it's what I think about from time to time.
What did they call the Thursday night lineup on NBC? That was the one that had the Cosby Show.
Yeah, same thing, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, but no,
it was on Thursday.
Cosby Show was Thursday with Seinfeld near the end. Cheers.
Family Matters is, I think, the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, but I can't remember what they called the Thursday night powerhouse lineup on NBC.
I remember Friday nights. I don't remember what they called Thursday nights.
I think there was a name for it. It was must-see TV.
Must-see
TV. Was
that
what it was?
I don't know.
Look it up. While you're looking it up, Tony's number four.
You mean, speaking of, you know, creeps. You kind of mentioned the show. It was like a staple in the Gwen household, but the Cosby Show.
Mm. Oh, really?
Cosby
Show.
That show was like one of my favorites.
It was everybody's favorite. And you didn't have any other alternatives, really. I mean, it was Cosby Show or don't watch TV.
It was must-see TV.
It was must-see TV,
Must-see TV, and that was followed by A Different World, which was the college experience of kind of the same type of genre show. Those two were back to back. Two of the I love TV at that point. I could sit in front of the TV all day during that time. So I'm gonna put those two shows as my number four.
All right, Chris.
Number four for me is just the I've mentioned it many times. Anytime I refer to taping some sort of show, but I enjoyed the VCR experience.
Mm, yeah,
I did too. Pulling it in, putting it out.
Be kind, rewind
the movie. I'm going to tell you how weird I was watching Bulls games in the 1990s. Because that was their championship decade. And when they would be in an important, usually a playoff game, if they'd get ahead by 20 or 25 points early in the game, I'd get nervous that they weren't going to hold on to the lead. I would actually stop the VCR tape and fast forward it like 20 minutes and then rejoin to see if they still had a 20 or 25 point lead. And if they did, I would fast forward a little bit more. I felt like I was somehow helping them get to the finish line quicker and hold on to the lead. It was so weird, but the VCR gave you a few more options that you don't have now. It also led to one negative, and that was your all-time favorite VCR tape, whether it be a movie or a game, could get eaten by the VCR recorder. Mm-hmm. And once that happened,
it's over.
There was hell to pay, because you had tape all over the front room.
It's true.
And you couldn't get it out of the VCR, and that was a disaster.
I was devastated when my VCR ate Brave Little Toaster when I was a kid. We had to take it to the VCR repair shop. It was devastated.
Brave Little Toaster.
It's a great movie.
Number three.
All right, my number three is TV, but it's Nickelodeon TV in the 90s. It was awesome. We watched Nickelodeon growing up all the time, and some of the shows were Are You Afraid of the Dark?, Legends of the Hidden Temple, Secret World of Alex Mack, Hey Dude, Salute Your Shorts, Double Dare, Wild and Crazy Kids, and my favorite, Nick Arcade.
Sounds like you really were barely into that.
No, I loved all of them.
No, I know you just reeled off 15 shows.
I love the Alex Mack show.
I don't remember any of those.
You don't remember Alex Mack?
I don't remember any of those either.
You don't remember Legends of the Hidden Temple?
How old were you in the 90s?
Age 5 to 15. Yeah. I didn't figure that out earlier.
Understood. All right, fair. A little more
understood.
Fair.
Understood. You're just a dumb kid.
You were. You still are. Tony, number three, 90s.
Oh, there it is. I forgot it. Number three, Sega Genesis.
Ooh.
Sega.
Sega.
Now, that was not the game of Pong. That was earlier.
That was Atari.
Atari.
Yes. Yeah.
With the two little Atari. White yes. bars and yes. the ball. Yes. That was in yeah, the that, 70s and 80s.
That, yes. that was definitely the 70s. Yeah. I think it might have been late 70s, yeah. early 80s yeah. for yeah. the Atari.
So this is more advanced.
This is Sonic this is the Hedgehog.
This is after Nintendo. So... yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog was a big game seller for Sega Genesis. Some of my favorites on there, Tommy Lasorda Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Did the game swear at you if you made a mistake?
No, but it was played, this was back in the, so this is in the 90s, right? So the game was played at like a sky lease, kind of up top, right? That's how you kind of played. The ball would go in the air.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Get real big.
All right, and yeah.
But, yeah, man, Sega Genesis.
Because they didn't have, like, 3D back then.
No, nah, not quite. I mean, they had 3D. It just didn't look the way
yeah,
it looks
exactly.
now.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny.
I think I'll be along the same lines with my number three, and that is just a regular television with a tube at the back of the TV instead of a flat screen.
But what?
And also watching television that wasn't high def. I mean, this is what we had back then. Now, at least we had color. I'm old enough to remember watching World Series games in black and white. So, actually, a color television was a big step up. But I don't know if you remember how far back the television had to went behind the screen.
You'll go blind if you
sit too close. For the tube and the whole thing back. No, I'm talking about, yeah, but the tube. Anyway, the television itself was a monster of a piece, and they didn't have high def yet, so.
So wait, you want to go back to
no
high
I don't.
Def?
I'm just saying that how things were different back in the day. Okay. I don't want to go back to this.
All right.
The other thing that kind of, I think, mirrored that was the first rendition of iMac computer screens.
Mm.
Those little boxes that were black and white and
green lettering.
The green lettering, and that was pretty much all we had. So, no, I don't miss that. I'm just saying that that's something we had to deal with.
All right.
Number two.
My number two is something I feel every day. I miss not feeling pressure and anxiety of returning texts, phone calls, emails. It's just like when I see somebody reach out to me on my phone, it just sits in my head like I got to get back to that person. And it's just like people can reach you too easily. I just kind of want to go off the grid sometimes. And I know if I go off the grid and my family calls me, they'll be like, where is he? And then they'll freak out and they'll call me 100 days. If you went off the grid, Chris, you could go a couple days without having to check in, right?
I can still do that, actually.
Okay.
I don't look at my
phone.
There's
no pay phones that you can use, though.
No pay phone. I don't know that would be on anyone's list, pay phones. That's pretty funny that they're not around. Tony, what do you got? Yep. Number two.
90s basketball.
Like, is that the... Would you say 90s basketball? What would you describe that
as? Is that a game or is that the actual NBA?
Like the actual... Sorry, 90s NBA.
Okay.
I should have said. And specifically, 90s NBA All-Star games. They were far more competitive than they are now. And the reason why I bring this up is because I remember... it feeling, you know, knowing what I know now, it was basically a pickup game of the best players in the NBA. And they actually, like, would take, you know, umbrage with trying to stop somebody on one end. Like, it was your one-on-one matchup that you couldn't really do during the regular season because you had to play within the offense. And it just made for, like, a really compelling game.
Yeah.
Even if the first half was a little more free-for-all, the second half, the whole second half was not like that. Like, they started locking up, guarding up, and you got to kind of see these guys perform at on a level that we probably don't get to see unless, you know, you get behind closed doors. And so I miss that.
It was a completely different world. I mean, if you go back to the Bulls championships of the mid-90s, you know, they're listed as the greatest team ever or whatever they are. They very rarely won a championship with and scoring over 90 points in a game.
Yeah, that's the other
most of the final
too.
Scores of games were in the 80s, if anyone can believe that. Now that's a halftime score sometimes.
Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't necessarily miss games in the 80s.
Yeah.
I just miss the, you know, the care factor a little bit. And I shouldn't say that because these guys care, but they don't play. The rules have changed in a way that benefit the offense.
Yeah. Don't allow you to play defense.
Right. They really don't. You can't touch anybody. And I kind of wish I got to see some of that.
Number two for me is the anticipation that went with coming home, opening the front door, peeking into the living room, or having to walk to the back in your bedroom to see if the light was blinking on your answering machine. Does anyone out there...
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, it's often said by Scraby that if I could turn back time, I would. And guess what? He's allowing me to turn back time today for our countdown. It is the Gwen and Chris weekly. Yes, we are going to flip the calendar back about 30 years, guys. And
That is a long time.
Come along with me for a ride back to the 1990s. Today's countdown category: top five things we miss from the 1990s. And I think that can be stuff we actually miss because we liked it, or stuff we miss because we really don't miss it that much. You know, either way, I think will work here.
Chris taking liberties with the topic.
I'm taking a little liberty or two because there's some things from the 90s that I think are kind of comical that probably wouldn't play so well in this day and age.
Like
so.
Backwards pants, isn't that what Crisscross did?
I remember that. I used to do that, but not on purpose. All right.
Number five.
That's another story. Let's get to today's countdown. Scraby, why don't you go first? This was your idea. Top five things you missed from the 1990s.
One of my favorite things to do in the 90s is every Friday after school, my mom would pile us in the car and we would go to the movie store and we would get our movies for the weekend and we would just get to walk through and see everything. I would always find myself in the horror movie section because obviously I wanted to watch that at the age of 11 or so. Right.
And also because it was always close to the adult section and you'd try to sneak around the corner behind the curtains.
Cannot confirm nor deny that, Chris. You know, sometimes...
Remember they had it behind these little flimsy curtains? As if that was going to keep anybody out of there.
Anybody out. And if you're caught in there, you are the biggest creep in the world.
Yes, that's right.
You're in a family video store.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Anyway, I also really loved renting video games. And so I did a lot of renting video games. But
all right, the movie store.
Yeah, Hollywood Video. That. Video Time is where I went growing up.
All right, very good. Tony, what do you miss from the 1990s? Or what do you recollect?
I miss paper maps.
Paper maps?
You used to walk in, you know, whether you were an adult and driving, going someplace, paper map. I remember my dad used to like draw on the line, the highway he wanted to roll on when we were going to like Portland to go to.
Primitive way of directing yourself.
You know what's funny about that is that they say that, you know, looking at your phone is dangerous while driving. It's not any more dangerous than trying to unfurl a paper map while you're driving, which I can picture your dad doing.
1,000%.
Yeah, which way do we go? Well, let me see.
Dad, there's a car.
Open the thing up right in the car.
That's a good one.
Very good.
Paper maps, for sure.
Very good.
It also helped pass the time. Just looking at it.
I mean, even as a kid, like just looking at it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is such and such.
Yeah. Everybody had a Thomas Brothers pretty much back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think those are around anymore. All right. Number five for me, I'll go with how about sitting around the house, especially when it was really good when you lived with roommates and they were gone for a few days because then you could go through their collection as well. But going through everybody's record album collection and making your own mixtape.
A lot of fun.
I think it was great, you know, for your own stuff, but even better, you know, when you go through everybody else's stuff and pull a song out and, you know, put it on your mixtape. So I think mixtapes, that was a big deal. And it's kind of a precursor to what we do now, which is download our favorite songs, you know, onto our phone. But that was the way we did it then.
Yeah, playlist. That's right.
Yeah, very good.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Number four. My number four is appointment TV. Mm-hmm. Well, A, this would help Chris, or help me be able to talk to Chris about things that are happening in sports. But like TGIF started at 8, and I was always in front of my TV at 8 on Fridays with my family watching TGIF. I kind of missed that for some reason, but it's what I think about from time to time.
What did they call the Thursday night lineup on NBC? That was the one that had the Cosby Show.
Yeah, same thing, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, but
it was on Thursday.
Cosby Show was Thursday with Seinfeld near the end. Cheers.
Family Matters is, I think, the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, but I can't remember what they called the Thursday night powerhouse lineup on NBC.
I remember Friday nights. I don't remember what they called Thursday nights.
I think there was a name for it. It was must-see TV.
Must-see TV.
Was
that what it was? I don't know.
Look it up. While you're looking it up, Tony's number four.
Speaking of, creeps. You kind of mentioned the show. It was like a staple in the Gwen household, but the Cosby Show.
Mm. Oh, really?
Cosby
Show.
That show was like one of my favorites.
It was everybody's favorite. And you didn't have any other alternatives, really. I mean, it was Cosby Show or don't watch TV.
It was must-see TV.
Must-see
TV, and that was followed by A Different World, which was the college experience of kind of the same type of genre show. Those two were back to back. Two of the I loved TV at that point. I could sit in front of the TV all day during that time. So I'm gonna put those two shows as my number four.
All right, Chris.
Number four for me is I've mentioned it many times. Anytime I refer to taping some sort of show, but I enjoyed the VCR experience.
Mm, yeah, I did too.
Pulling it in, putting it out.
Be kind, rewind
the movie. I'm going to tell you how weird I was watching Bulls games in the 1990s. Because that was their championship decade. And when they would be in an important, usually a playoff game, if they'd get ahead by 20 or 25 points early in the game, I'd get nervous that they weren't going to hold on to the lead. I would actually stop the VCR tape and fast forward it like 20 minutes and then rejoin to see if they still had a 20 or 25 point lead. And if they did, I would fast forward a little bit more. I felt like I was somehow helping them get to the finish line quicker and hold on to the lead. It was so weird, but the VCR gave you a few more options that you don't have now. And also led to one negative, and that was your all-time favorite VCR tape, whether it be a movie or a game, could get eaten by the VCR recorder. Mm-hmm. And once that happened,
it's over.
There was hell to pay because you had tape all over the front room.
It's true.
And you couldn't get it out of the VCR, and that was a disaster.
I was devastated when my VCR ate Brave Little Toaster when I was a kid. We had to take it to the VCR repair shop. I was devastated.
Brave Little Toaster.
It's a great movie.
Number three.
All right, my number three is TV, but it's Nickelodeon TV in the 90s. It was awesome. We watched Nickelodeon growing up all the time, and some of the shows were Are You Afraid of the Dark?, Legends of the Hidden Temple, Secret World of Alex Mack, Hey Dude, Salute Your Shorts, Double Dare, Wild and Crazy Kids, and my favorite, Nick Arcade.
Sounds like you really were barely into that.
No, I loved all of them.
No, I know you just reeled off 15 shows.
I love the Alex Mack show.
I don't remember any of those.
You don't remember Alex Mack?
I don't remember any of those either.
You don't remember Legends of the Hidden Temple?
How old were you in the 90s?
Age 5 to 15. Yeah. I didn't figure that out earlier.
Understood. All right, fair. A little more
understood.
Fair.
Understood. You're just a really dumb kid.
You were. You still are. Tony, number three, 90s.
Oh, there it is. I forgot it. Number three, Sega Genesis.
Ooh.
Sega.
Now, that was not the game of Pong. That was early.
That was Atari.
Atari.
Yes.
With the two little white bars and the ball. Yes. That was in the 70s and 80s.
That was definitely the 70s. Yeah. I think it might have been late 70s, early 80s for the Atari.
So this is more advanced.
This is Sonic the Hedgehog.
This is after Nintendo. So... Sonic the Hedgehog was a big game seller for Sega Genesis. Some of my favorites on there, Tommy Lasorda Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did the game swear at you if you made a mistake?
No, but it was played This was back in the, so this is in the 90s, right? So the game was played at like a sky lease, kind of up top, right? That's how you kind of played. The ball would go in the air.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Get real big.
All right, and yeah.
But, yeah, man, Sega Genesis.
Because they didn't have, like, 3D back then.
No, not quite. I mean, they had 3D. It just didn't look the way
it
looks
now. Exactly. That's funny.
I think I'll be along the same lines with my number three, and that is just a regular television with a tube at the back of the TV instead of a flat screen.
But what?
And also watching television that wasn't high def. I mean, this is what we had back then. Now, at least we had color. I'm old enough to remember watching World Series games in black and white. So, actually, a color television was a big step up. But I don't know if you remember how far back the television had to went behind the screen.
You'll go blind if you
sit too close. For the tube and the whole thing back. No, I'm talking about, but the tube. Anyway, the television itself was a monster of a piece, and they didn't have high def yet, so.
So wait, you want to go back to
no
high
I don't.
Def?
I'm just saying that how things were different back in the day. Okay. I don't want to go back to this.
All right.
The other thing that kind of, I think, mirrored that was the first rendition of iMac computer screens. Those little boxes that were black and white and
green lettering.
The green lettering, and that was pretty much all we had. So, no, I don't miss that. I'm just saying that that's something we had to deal with.
All right.
Number two.
My number two is something I feel every day. I miss not feeling pressure and anxiety of returning texts, phone calls, emails. It's just like when I see somebody reach out to me on my phone, it just sits in my head like I got to get back to that person. And it's just like people can reach you too easily. I just kind of want to go off the grid sometimes. And I know if I go off the grid and my family calls me, they'll be like, where is he? And they'll freak out and they'll call me 100 days. If you went off the grid, Chris, you could go a couple days without having to check in, right?
I can still do that, actually.
Okay.
I don't look at my
phone.
There's
no pay phones that you can use, though.
No pay phone. I don't know that would be on anyone's list, pay phones. That's pretty funny that they're not around. Tony, what do you got? Yep. Number two.
90s basketball.
Like, is that the, would you say 90s basketball, what would you describe that?
Is that a game or is that the actual NBA?
No, like the actual, sorry, 90s NBA.
Okay,
I should have said. And specifically, 90s NBA All-Star Games. They were far more competitive than they are now. And the reason why I bring this up is because I remember it feeling, you know, knowing what I know now, it was basically a pickup game of the best players in the NBA. And they actually, like, would take, you know, umbrage with trying to stop somebody on one end. Like, it was it was like your one-on-one matchup that you couldn't really do during the regular season because you had to play within the offense. And it just made for, like, a really compelling game.
Yeah.
Even if the first half was a little more free-for-all, the second half, the whole second half was not like that. Like, they started locking up, guarding up, and you got to kind of see these guys perform at on a level that we probably don't get to see unless, you know, you get behind closed doors. And so I miss that.
It was a completely different world. I mean, if you go back to the Bulls championships of the mid-90s, you know, they're listed as the greatest team ever or whatever they are. They very rarely won a championship with and scoring over 90 points in a game.
Yeah, that's the other
most of the final scores of games were in the 80s. If anyone can believe that. Now that's a halftime score sometimes.
Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't necessarily miss games in the 80s.
Yeah.
I just miss the you know, the care factor a little bit. And I shouldn't say that because these guys care, but they don't play. The rules have changed in a way that benefit the offense.
Yeah. Don't allow you to play defense.
Right. They really don't. You can't touch anybody. And I kind of wish I got to see some of that again.
Number two for me is the anticipation that went with coming home, opening the front door, peeking into the living room, or having to walk to the back in your bedroom to see if the light was blinking on your answering machine. Does anyone out there love me? Did I get a phone call from anybody, or was I just completely ignored today? You were ignored, that light would just stare at you and say, nope, nobody called.
No blinking.
No blinking. I don't know if that's any different than today, but the answer machine also allowed you, you know, if you were upset with your girlfriend at the time or whatever, you could pretty much waste her entire answer machine
tape
by leaving a 30-minute soliloquy on how you were upset. But yeah, when that light was blinking, and it, like, especially if you're expecting a call about a job or about a date,
just
man, if that thing was blinking and you got home, it was a happy moment.
And then you check it, it's like, hey, Chris, you actually owe $400?
Yes, you owe $40 on your newspaper subscription. Yeah.
All right. That's a good one.
Number one.
My number one's simple, and it's something that you can't ever recreate again because you had to be young, but it was pizza parties back in the day. Mm. Pizza parties. Yep. Were amazing lit. As a kid because
absolutely lit.
After Chuck E. Cheese? No, not that.
Where I grew up, we would after games go to Pizza Pirate, and we would have the Pizza Pirate thing. They had arcade. They had the Simpsons arcade game in there that every pizza place seemingly had. But pizza parties were, as Tony said, lit. I missed those.
Lit.
Yeah.
Lit. Number one on my list was the first time you discovered Star 69.
Oh!
Man. Once you figured out you could call back somebody who had been calling your house and hanging up forever.
Oh, man.
Oh, you know, that used to happen at the Gwynn household quite often. People would call and, like, hang up. And the first time Star 69 was put intact. Oh, it was a wonderful thing.
I know.
Because not everybody knew about it. So they got a call, and they were just kind of answering thing, and somebody was calling them. Before the word got out on Star 69, it was an elite detective tool.
Is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it.
I guess you guys would get more calls, you know, growing up because
they probably did. Probably, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. That is great, though. Can you imagine your dad calling someone back and be like, hey, who is this?
I remember telling him about Star 69. Like, hey, man, you know you can, like, call back these people who keep calling and hanging up.
That's and a I good remember, one. A good
and
one.
He did it. He did it a couple times, and the person on the other end was just dumbfounded. Like,
I would be too. I would be too.
Uh oh. Yeah. I'm going to finish with one thing I don't miss, and number one thing I do miss. Number one thing I don't miss was the Y2K panic at the end of the 1990s.
Yes. Oh,
basically, a year and a half of being concerned that the world was going to end.
That the computers were about to turn on us.
Unbelievable. And, you know, people stockpiling toilet paper and the water.
Computers are going to think we're in 1900.
What a waste of time that was.
There was a piece of all of us that weren't sure.
No, that's right. You couldn't be sure. Those idiots out there might be right.
There's a good documentary on Max about everything that led up to Y2K. And there's the guy who was in charge of updating the computers in the country was like, you guys have no idea how dangerous this actually was.
I bet it was. But that's the number one thing I don't miss. The number one thing I miss is something Scraby brought up, and that's the Blockbuster video store. I just spent so much time in there, and it was a wonderful place to just be and go and look and be able, you'd stay in there for hours. And then that one moment when everybody you were with actually agreed on the one movie that you all didn't mind watching.
Good point.
That was a big moment. And I also think about Blockbuster probably being the most sure thing business that no longer exists.
There's one left.
Is there still one Blockbuster video?
I think it's
video?
In Portland area.
Yeah.
You know, the one down part about Blockbuster, especially towards the end, any new releases you could not get.
Like, no,
you had
right.
to be waiting outside the door, basically.
You did, yeah.
In order to have a shot at a new release.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
People fighting over the new releases.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days.
Crazy
times. The 1990s. That's our countdown for today. When we come back, we'll play a little trivia. Chris versus the fans.